The Olympic Games was started as a celebration of human ability. A celebration of human ability. And they said, we're going to put this on show for all the world to see what humans are able to do. And I mean, there is a part of me, on the weekend there was a lady that ran a new world record for the 2K, 2,000 meters. And so I don't know if there's any runners out here, but this is a lady, all right? She's a real lady. She's blonde, okay? And she ran 2 kilometers in 5 minutes, 19 seconds, all right? Now, most of us are stoked today if we do our kilometers in that time, okay? And she did 2Ks in that. And I watched it and I was like, this is amazing, okay? It's like, this is the fastest a human has ever run for that distance. But you know what's scary is sometimes, you know, that mindset filters its way into the church. And the celebration of human ability, of what people are able to do. And it's so the opposite with God, with what He wants from us, eh? And so speaking about prayer today, if you're wondering where we're going with this, we're going to speak about prayer for however long for the next season, all right? But Mervis once said this. He says, a prayerless life is a sign of prideful living. A prayerless life is a sign of prideful living because independence is not from God. Throughout the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, it's like this, for generation after generation, there was this one accusation that the Lord had against them at multiple times. He says, my people do not inquire of me. My people do not inquire of me. My people do not inquire of me. And it's just like for every time the Lord disciplined His people for not inquiring of Him and just doing what they were able to do in their own strength. And so I started preparing a prayer in the week, and I tell you, I've got stuff here that we can speak about for, it feels like, for the next year, because there's so many components to it. There's individual prayer, there's corporate prayer, there's warfare prayer, anything you can think of, okay? And you would think that prayer is the most basic thing of the Christian faith, actually. Yeah? It's amazing, actually, that, you know, that when we get saved, somehow there's this almost a natural inclination that we need to pray. Have you guys felt that before? Even though you don't know how it works, but there's this natural like thing in us that, like, after we get saved, is that we need to connect with God. And I actually want to say that it's nothing natural. It's actually supernatural. A desire that God puts in us that we were made for connection with Him. We were born for this thing. We were born to be a people who are connected to our Jesus, to live in Him and move and have our being in Him. Amen? And so, I have the art to try and fit some of this into today, to try and fit a lot of this into today. But I just want to try and hit a few points for us today. And we can look at this for the next while. But, you know, for me, one of the moments that I was most impacted with was prayer specifically, and especially corporate prayer as a church, was when I joined Josh Jane Wellington in 2012. I was there at Team T. And I remember my first day there, lived in the building, you know, where the church was, and I came down and it was anarchy. It was so loud. And it was the prayer meeting before church happening, all right? And there was as many people at the prayer time as that attended the church. It was like, it was part of the service. We started at 8:15, but the church was there from 8:15 to pray. And I remember walking into that service. I've been part of a few prayer meetings, but I stood in that time and I was like, these people honestly believe that they're going to change the world from here. It's like, it felt like, man, the way that they're praying out of this little congregation here in Little Wellington, they really believe that they will impact nations. And you know what? Today, they are doing that. It's like, over all the world, we've got people from that congregation who we've been there together that is impacting nations, that birthed from that little place there. But I saw it in prayer first. The way that they spoke to God is like they honestly believe what they're asking for. There was a boldness. There was a confidence. There was not an arrogance. So please hear me, sometimes prayer can get whacking and I command this. And it's like, I'm not talking about that. Okay? So Michael enjoys that one. Okay? But I'm not talking about getting all funky in our prayer. But there was an intimacy with the Lord that was attractive when it came to prayer. So they knew their God. And I did want to put this in there, and I can't remember. There's a scripture. I'm trying to think now where it is. Ooh, it's in the Bible. I think it's Isaiah somewhere that says, it said, those who know their God will do great exploits. Yeah? Those who know their God will do great things for him. And it is, you know, that like the celebration of human ability wants to say, let's see how much us as humans in our own strength can get right. But the God picture is like that, actually the ones who know their God will do great things for him, not in our own strength. Amen. Thanks, Jesus. All right. So today what I want to look at is I want to look at the why, the who, the what, and the when of prayer. All right. We're going to start with this today. So why do we pray? Okay. Because Jesus did. All right. Now, I put scriptures together here quickly, and I want to start with this, you know, Matthew 14. I'm just going to go through a bunch, but they got it on the screen here. But Matthew 14, 23, it says this, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Luke 6, 12, it says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain. So there was a mountain where Jesus had this rhythm where he often withdrew to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. All right, some of us need to remember the whole night in prayer to God. Mark 1:25 says, in the early morning, so now we see Jesus did it in the evening, and he got up early in the morning, while it was still dark. This is Mark 1:25, sorry. Jesus got up, left the house, and he went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. Romans 8:34, it says, who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So now we see this picture that Jesus did it while he was on earth, but still today he's at the right hand of God and he's praying for us. He's still praying. Okay. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of his flesh, so that's while he was on earth, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his pity. Is that how he said? I'm reading a different translation here. Sorry. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. That's beautiful, actually. Yeah. So we see this picture where Jesus, when he was on earth, he often withdrew to a secluded place to pray. Morning, evening, he spent time with God. And friends, I want to say, you know, just even with that, long before it comes to Jesus commanded us to do it, but if he had to do it, how much more do you and I need to do it? There's a reason why Jesus could say, I only do what I see and hear the Father does. Because he's been there. And he took the time to go and to listen. You know, when you spend a whole night in prayer, I don't know if you've done that before. I'm sure you'll hear God, okay, and what he wants to do. But also there was a rhythm that he had with God. It was morning, evenings. He says he often withdrew. He often got away to spend time and to find God in prayer. And friends, I want to say, man, for us, you know, that we can live in him and move and have our being. Prayer is the answer. And I think sometimes we so quickly it's like them, and that's foundational Christian 101. We want to move on to more excellence things. But like this is the foundation. We can't rip up the foundation and do something else. This is where it starts for us. And so I just want to backtrack a little bit. But the reason I want to jump into this for us as a church is some of you might remember when Hewan was with us, he had a word for us. It says that prayer in Josh Jen in general needs to become a high value and a weapon for us again. And then when I was on leave, Kala was here with you guys, and there was a prophetic word that speaking about the cake that they were mixing and the missing ingredient. And he felt that the missing ingredient for us as Josh Jen Mossel Bay AIM is prayer. And that prayer, it is important in all the congregations, but for us, it needs to become a weapon, actually, that we'll use. And so, friends, the reason why we're jumping into this as elders is because we want to heed the word that came. And the prophetic word that came, it's like, okay, God, we want to then discover a love for prayer again. And that we can be those that live in him and move in him and have our being in him. And are constantly a people that make our dependence known to God through prayer. That constantly inquire of God. that it will not be said of us that we are those who just in our own human ability did what we wanted to do, but it will be those who are constantly found in prayer before the Lord. Amen? There's too little amens for that. I think this is quite critical for us. All right. And I want to read this, Ephesians 6:18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. And thank goodness I'm not in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So Paul's here saying, listen guys, at all times and at all occasions, there's these requests and all kinds of supplications that we put before God. And it's also and we also pray for one another. He says, we're praying for all the Lord's people. And then he says, and pray for me. I actually want to ask you this today. Guys, I need you to pray for me. I want to ask you, like for what the Lord has said before us, and sometimes, you know, we have to go as a church. It's like, I need to be fearless, man. And I want to ask you, cover us in prayer. Cover me and my wife. Cover the rest of the eldership team in prayer. Cover the, you know, pray for the leaders. It's like, Lord, pray for boldness. Pray for courage. Pray for steadfastness. Lord, we pray that you'd protect him against the tempter. Lord, we pray. Whatever you can think of to pray for me, do it. I need it. All right. And so for one another. And it says that at all times and at all occasions, we pray, man. Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you, where are you in your dependence of the Lord? If you have to honestly assess yourself now and your life and your walk with God. Hey, guys, it's so lucky to have you guys with us, by the way. It's like grade 3 to 5. They're lucky to have you. Yeah. Is it, how are you doing in your dependence on the Lord? Or is your life one marked by the celebration of human ability? Good question, yeah. And if I'm very honest, I even said this to the eldership team. I said, I am aware that prayer for me is a weak muscle. And corporate prayer is a weak muscle. It's like but it's not okay to leave it there. I'm grafting into that. I'm working into that. It says, Lord, we want to be those that are marked by a dependent people on the Lord. Amen. Great. Another important one, why we pray, is we believe this at Acts 2:42. We know the scripture, but it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I love the, I think it's the ESV that says they devoted themselves to the prayers. There was like something that they had rhythms where they regularly devoted themselves to come together and to pray and to find God, to hear from God, to inquire of God. Man, and we want to be a church that we mark by that. We often devote us, not often, we are devoted within ourselves to the prayers when we come together. And then in Peter writes this, 1 Peter 4:7, he says that the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And Peter's writing this. He says, guys, if you want to know why you need to pray, he says, now Peter wrote this, I don't know how many years ago, how many thousands of years, but it's a while ago. And so if the end was near then, the end is even nearer today. Yeah. All right? And he says, be alert. Remain alert. That he says, and after this he writes, he says that your adversary is prowling around like a lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour. He says, remain alert and pray. We want to be alert. I think one of the most, one of the worst things for a Christian is when we lose sensitivity to the Lord. And we just go through life, you know. But we want to be those who remain alert and steadfast and sober-minded and pray that we can be found in Him. Amen. So there are a lot of more whys to go, but I just wanted to touch on that today. But actually before this, I remember I wanted to switch my notes around. But the more important question is the who. And sometimes we just need to remember who it is that we come to when we pray. And I love this, you know, one of the biggest revelations that I think the disciples had in their time on earth with Jesus is when they heard him pray. Look, they've seen him often get out. That's what the Bible says. He often withdrew. And sometimes he got into the wilderness. I think sometimes they followed him. Sometimes he was close by to them and he just prayed. And they loved hearing how he prayed, to the point where one day they came to him and said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And I wonder if they were expecting these big words and philosophies and whatever. And he started with, "Father, Father." And sometimes I think as a church, we need to pause and not just go through the rigmarole of whatever is next on the schedule. And we need to pause and remember who it is that we come to. It's our Father. It's our Father. And, you know, one of the things I love about Josh Jen and 412 and Andrew is many years ago when 412 was birthed, it was very exciting. It was small. It was probably half the size of this church of all over the world that people came together. Okay, this was it. And it was exciting, man. There was this new field being birthed and it was, you know, it's a thing of God and people are there from all over the world and whatever. And the worship started and you know when you're so excited, sometimes like, and we're like, "Oh, this is going to be the best thing ever." But it just sounds like lank empty, the worship. It is like we are just, there's just noise now, but where's Jesus? But this is the start of this new thing. And you know, and at the birth of 412, the very first session, Andrew got up and he's like, "Stop, stop, 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 stop. Stop everything. Stop the worship. Stop." He says, "What are we doing here? We're just going through the motions. We need to remember who it is we come before." And just wait it. And says, "We're coming before our Father." And you know, for any worship leader, you ask Sizwe, if that ever happens, you need like years of counseling to get over that. But I love that it's at the birth of who we are, performance got ripped out of us. And it says, "Remember who it is that before who you come before." And we just waited. Yeah? And it says, "Lord, Father, we come before you." And he came. And somehow today we are, man, over 600 churches in I don't know how many different nations. But it was birthed out of connection with the One. Not performance. Not religion. Not going through the motions. It was birthed there. And I sometimes wonder when we pray. Now, this is where I want to start stepping on toes a little bit. I do think that there are sometimes prayers that we pray, and God is just like, "I don't know what to do about that." I think there are prayers that the Lord struggles to really respond to. And it's just rhymes and rhythms and religion and just empty words. And he said that when he was on earth. He said about the Pharisees. He says, "Look at how they're standing at the street corners. They're just speaking empty words." He says, "I'm on their lips, but I'm far from their hearts." And it's just like, I think it sounds like, "Oh, what do I do with this? Like, remember who it is that you come to, man." Sometimes I think we need to listen to how we pray. All right. And so I'm going to ruin some of your prayer lives for you today, hopefully. I think sometimes we need to, you know, it often starts like this. Okay, "Dear Jesus, we just want to thank you for this day." Yeah, have you heard that one before? All right. Lord, we just want to ask you to be with us. Lord, we thank you for the food. And we pray that you will bless the hands that prepared it. Whatever that means. Anyway, have you thought about that before? Why the hands? Thought about that before, all right? I sometimes just stop there, you know, it's like, man, I pray, "Lord, that you bless the hands that prepared it." I'm sometimes thinking, you know, we're speaking to a holy God, the Father, and he's like, "I don't know what to do about that. What do you want me to do with that?" It's like, always like, yes, he was moved by that request, you know? And like, okay, whose hands was it? Okay, who made this food? It's like, I want to get in there. And sometimes I just think the Lord is like, "I don't know." And it's like, it's a good thing that we're praying, but, oh man. And then it says, "Lord, so that we may be used for your service, you know, blessed in our bodies." And sometimes I think the Lord is looking at us like, I wish you could speak back in that moment. It's like, it's McDonald's. Like, it's almost impossible to bless this in your body. It's like, it's going to poison you. Don't eat it. And we're like, Lord, so we may be used for your service. Okay? I know you get me, I'm just joking, but I think sometimes like we just go through a prayer and it's like, wow, that was great, end of the prayer, and we just move on. Sometimes I just think, man, record that prayer if that's what you want to do, play the tape and eat. But that is not a prayer life that comes before a holy God. And realizing that He is able to move mountains when we pray. And we sound as just, we have these recorded prayer lives, and we're just like, man, play the tape and just go on. Yeah, your food's getting cold. Okay. And the reason why I'm doing this today is like, I want to uproot actually religion out of us. That is, that He's on our lips, but far from our hearts. I honestly think that kind of prayer life the Lord struggles to respond to. And are you guys with me? Yeah. All right. And remember who it is that we come to. You know, it's a holy God. It's a Father. And I want to say this: one that loves to respond to prayer. One that loves to rush to you in mercy. One that loves to rush and supply. One that says, I know the birds of the air and I care for them, but how much more precious are you? And I think sometimes like when we pray for the food, I say, Lord, we pray that you do bless Philly that made this for us. You know, he stood there the whole day while we're playing. Lord, bless her. I mean, if your wife that's slaving away every night making food while she's 37 weeks pregnant with a toddler. And I think sometimes it is good, Lord, I'm thanking you for my wife that made this food tonight. And Lord, that you provided for us. It's not a recorded prayer, but I'm genuine before the Lord. Lord, thank you. I think the Lord will do that. It moves him. But it's not one that just plays the tape and like, I could get on with your life. We come before a holy God. And then I want to move to the what. Now, you will see, I'm just skimming over this because we're going to be in this for a while. And I can't get into all of it today. But the question is, so where do we start? Yes, I'm going blank here today. We start with the why, okay? So we pray because Jesus did it and He commanded us to do it. It's a good thing for us to do it. We need to submit ourselves to Him, okay, and inquire from Him. But then, and then we come before a holy God. But what do we then pray when you come together? And I think there was something here this morning, even that Aiden said this, or someone mentioned it about the shopping list. Was it you? No. Really? Yeah. That we don't come before the Lord just with a shopping list, but it's actually, as a church also, so today, please hear me, I'm not getting into individual prayer and corporate prayer, I'm trying to blend them together here, okay? And it's just a general theme. But when we come together, guys, I think there's, it's not I think, the Bible says, whenever we come to Him, in Philippians it says this, let me rather read it for you. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7, I had it here somewhere, disappeared. Can you get Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 for me, please? I'll quote it along. It says, but in prayer and in supplication with thanksgiving, yeah, make your requests known to God. And I think one of the most healthiest places for us to start, there we go. Okay, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's this posture where we come before God in thanksgiving. Friends, thanksgiving is one of the biggest antidotes to worry. Remember the preach from 2 weeks ago about the peace of God? It's thanksgiving. It's a, like, I think sometimes if we could get caught up in our own worlds, we will never have enough. And we're constantly worried. And there's always these things that tug on our hearts. But thanksgiving brings into perspective how good God is. And we just say, God, we acknowledge that you're the one that provides for us. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, I know that guy has that house, but I have a house. And a roof over my head. Lord, I'm thankful that you provide for us. Lord, thank you that you move with us. God, thank you that I've got a job. Lord, thank you that if I don't have a job, you are still my provider. And I know you're in control. Lord, that I am much more precious than the birds of the air. And that you will take good care of us. You are good. Oh, you are good. All right? And then you pray that and you don't sing it. And it brings us into line with God. But then I also want to say, friends, what do we pray? Is like, and please hear me, we're going to expose on this a lot more in the next coming weeks. But for today, what I found is like, if we want to pray in line with God's will, because Jesus said this, ask in my name whatever you wish for and it'll be given to you. Now, I've asked for a Ferrari before and I'm not driving one, okay? And I think, you know, it's, and we've all heard this before, but it's to tap into line with what is the Lord's desire. And I want to ask that. And for us to be in line with what is God's desire so that we can pray that, is we need to know this book. You need to know this book. You need to know what the Lord's desire is. You need to know your word, okay? I love Psalm 1, which is like Psalms. It's like almost the combination of prayers and songs and requests that David had, you know, and many other guys that wrote it. But I love Psalm 1 that it starts with, blessed are those who meditate on your word day and night, whose word is on their hearts. It is like that they, blessed are those who know scripture, who meditate on it. Friends, I want to say, you need to know the word of God to be able to pray what is on the Lord's heart. You know, I think if you pray a prayer that sounds like this, it's, Lord, I pray, you know that guy that hurt me? Lord, I pray, may he burn in hell. And Lord, that on this earth, he will experience much suffering for what he's doing to me. I want to say that prayer the Lord's not going to answer, okay? Because it's not his heart, okay? Any prayer that you pray out of offense and unforgiveness and want to hold your brother's sins against him, it is counter to what God is encouraging us here. And so that's going to be an ineffective and unfruitful prayer life. Thank Jesus for that, okay? But if you know this word, you can know that God doesn't want us to hold record of wrong. He doesn't want us to hold our brother's sins against him. He doesn't want us to keep an offense in our hearts, to harbor that. So a prayer that would sound like this is, Lord, I'm angry, but Lord, could you help me to forgive and set that brother free? He'll help you. He'll answer that prayer because it's in line with his heart. God is a God who loves to forgive. So know the word to pray, okay? Often when we pray and when I'm here and we got prayer times and when I'm home, I'm praying, but I've got my Bible close to me. And sometimes I'm searching, man. Where does it say that? Then we say, Lord, your word says. And I read. It says, I want to remind you, Jesus, that this is what you said. So we ask you for that today. And it's like, it feels like there's faith that comes in when I pray that prayer because I'm partnering with God. As I'm lining up with him. This is, I'm working with God here. Amen? Amen? Then, I want to say, in line with that, it says, man, we should be a people that don't just pray selfishly. I think our prayers, I wonder often how many of our prayers are marked by I, and help, 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 and please, 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 you know, it's good. But, and please, I want to say that the Lord is inviting us to put our request before him, to make known our request with thanksgiving and supplication. Ask and it will be given, you know. He's inviting us into that. But sometimes I think, man, we need to look wider than just, not sometimes, we need to look wider than ourselves and see that there's a whole world out there that needs the gospel. And so one prayer life for me that I think I really am trusting that as a congregation will pick up stronger is to carry the nations and the church in our heart and to pray with God, okay, for that. Do not pray selfishly. So James 4 says this. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You ask that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And it says, man, you don't get it because the Lord says, you're just asking selfishly here. He says, no, actually, align yourself with my will, with what I'm doing. And start praying for what the Lord is doing on the earth. Friends, I want to say, even how Paul wrote there earlier, and he says, pray for the people and pray for me. He says, pray that the gospel may advance. I want to encourage you, if you struggle with your prayer life, if you feel like, man, 5 minutes in, I've got nothing left to say to the Lord. All right? Think about me. Okay, and think about your leaders. You got a lot to pray for there. Okay, and think about your comm leader. Think about the people in your communities. Think about the visitors that are starting to join your community. You're gonna pray long. Okay, think about Andrew that's in the States. Okay, think about Mornay that's moving to Cape Town tomorrow to pick up a whole new. Guys, there's a lot that we can keep ourselves busy with in prayer. and that is effective prayer life, that is partnering with God as we're going forward. Amen. And then I want to say, Romans 8, 26 says this, that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. I love that. Okay. We within ourselves do not know what we need to pray for. It is like actually to the core, we are a selfish people. Amen. All right, anyone want to own that? Okay, we are selfish. And to our core, this is why our prayer life tends to go like just, man, to spin at our own desires. But he says, no, man, pray in the Spirit because you don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And I love this, you know, Ryan Kingsley actually said, who's praying? You know the Trinity. Who in the Trinity is praying? We see that the Spirit is praying. He's interceding for us on our behalf. We know that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father and he's praying for us. Who's not praying? The Father. And we pray to a Father through Jesus, through the Spirit, with the Spirit. We partner. But we our request is we come before a good dad, a good Father, who's got everything under control. Right? And it says, because the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows what to pray, by the way. He knows the word, okay? And he's praying for us. And sometimes, how many of you found you're praying and you get to an end, you don't know what to pray for, and then I start praying in tongues with groans too deep for words. All right, and I pray in tongues. And as I'm praying, suddenly I'm reminded, oh, of course, man. And as revelation comes, then I pray with words again. And I partner. And I pray, yes, Lord, I pray for that. And when that thing is finished, sometimes I run out of what to pray for again. And I pray in the Spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit intercedes. And I partner with him. And I'm like, oh, yes, I need to pray for that. And I become aware. Friends, that is effective prayer life. That is partnering with God. And I want to say, if you're stuck in your prayer life with 5 minutes of prayer a day, man, there's so much more for you, okay? But if you're stuck tomorrow and you realize, oh, here we go with the play record, and you're like, Jesus, thank you for this day. Help me with my boss. I pray that I won't crash on the way to work. Jesus, pray that you, I don't know what's your prayer request, okay? But if you hear that tape going, I want to encourage you, put that thing off and come before a holy God. Wait upon him. And if you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. And partner with the Spirit. Mervis said this. He says, don't just depend on prayer. Depend in prayer. There's sometimes where this is like, we're not just dependent on this. It's a method that will get us what we want initially. This is actually us making ourselves dependent, inquiring of our God, coming before him. I already said thanksgiving, but Mervis said a lot of good stuff. I'll keep quoting him, but he also said this once. He says, God does not have problems. He just has plans. You know, we never come to God and we're like, it's like, oh my goodness, I did not know about that. Let me sort that out. How could this happen? You know? Sometimes we think that that's what it's like. And, you know, actually, if we remember who it is that we come to, it's the one on the throne. And the earth is his footstool. And it's like, I've got everything under control, man. And you that just think that your life is spiraling apart and that God is out of control, he's sitting there and he says, I've got no problems, I just have plans. Just come, just come, just come. It's an invitation to a holy God. Friends, I want to say, I know that some of you are going through serious financial stress now. Some of you are under pressure with work stuff. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have medical stuff that feels too far beyond God. I want to say that the Lord is not surprised by anything, okay? He is well in control. Run to him. Run to him. You know, there's a terrible story in Chronicles about a king called Asa. Now, Asa was actually a good king. And it says that he when he was born, it says his heart belonged to the Lord. He did what was pleasing in the eyes of God. He tore down the altars. He smashed the Asherah poles. He tore down the idols. He was a good king. But he says then he started winning battles, and at some stage he says he was quite wealthy, and he started depending on other nations rather than on the Lord. And he started paying off the Amorites and these guys and those guys to fight with him in his own strength. And then it says at the end of Asa's days, let me read this for you, 2 Chronicles 16, 12. It says that in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. And though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from physicians. And I felt so convicted when I read this in the week. It says that this man, he says his heart was after God. But at the end of his life, somehow he became so dependent on human ability that even when his illness was severe, he only reached to doctors and not to the Lord. Guys, we need to get back to be a church that when there's something bad news that comes from either doctors or finances or stuff, our first point of reference we go to is a Father. A God who we run to in prayer. And not just, okay, well, I know what this is. I just need to go to the doctor and get the antibiotics. And I wanna actually ask us as a church that there will be a boldness that creeps back into us again, that we'll ask boldly of the Lord. When it comes to, you know, this was written here for a reason, by the way, because I think the Lord was not pleased with how it ended. He says, I wanted him to ask me. I wanted him to come to me and inquire of me and ask me and ask me to heal him. I wanted to do that. But he only went to doctors. And he died, by the way. God was inviting. So friends, I want to say again, maybe even today, we need to pray bold prayers before the Lord and ask him for healing in physical bodies. Turning to the Lord first. And then point four, I want to say, so we got the why, the who, the what, and now we've got the when. I want to say, at all times. At all times, we come before a holy God. You know, Grant Baker once said this, which is quite interesting. He's a good friend of mine. He's an elder in Cape Town. Was part of my team in Melkbos for many years. He's a successful businessman. Some of you might have seen Rent a Cheapie, which is all these city golfs racing around with. He's a good, successful businessman, okay? And he once said this, that successful people are often marked by having healthy rhythms in their lives. If you see people who are doing well, all over the world, like financially or just like successful people, says one thing that a study has shown that have marked their lives is they've got good rhythms in their life. They're not a sporadic, spontaneous people just constantly. You get those, they're all the entrepreneurs, okay? But most people are like they've got good, healthy rhythms that they stick to. And I want to say a healthy rhythm for a successful church is a healthy rhythm in prayer at all times. That we need to daily come before the Lord. And it's not always asking, but sometimes you need to just say, take time and say, Jesus, it's so good to be with you. You just pause and you just find him. You just put your request before him. You just meet with him. And that prayer needs to be a rhythm that is in our lives. And I love that I was quite challenged in the week. So I've listened to a few things because I mentioned to you that this is not my strongest aspect. So I've drawn from guys. And one guy that I listened to, Cassie, is an elder in Paul, who I know personally. He was in Wellington when I was there, and he rallied those prayer troops. He said at one stage that, and I'm not putting this on anyone, but he said for himself, he tries to do communion every day, morning and evening. Morning and evening. And I heard that, and I was like, God, that sounds so good. That in the morning I wake up and I thank you for your mercy and your blood and your body. And at night when I go to bed, I thank you. And I pray and I find you again. And it's like there's a pattern that is like morning and evening. Jesus got up early in the morning and he prayed, and late at night he went away and he prayed. And man, there'll be a rhythm that comes into us that we make time throughout the day to find God. And I want to say, for some, you know, now I'm going into next week's word. I maybe wasn't going too far down this line. But I want to say, find what works for you. If I sit still in my house for too long and trying to pray, I pray very short. Okay? And I'm a adrenaline bunny, okay? So if I know if I want to have effective prayer life, I sometimes need to go walk. And this is not my exercise time, okay? So I'll do that later, okay, physical exercise. This is me praying to find God. And I walk, and I just say, Lord, I'm going to walk now, but my aim is to see you. My aim is to find you. And I'm going to, for some, when you're driving to work, now I say that is not the only time you need to pray, but sometimes you need to switch off the radio, and you just need to pray and find God. Sometimes you even need to switch off your Christian music, and you need to pray that you can actually hear God. All right? Like, find a rhythm that works for you. For some, you need to, like, not for some, for all of us at some stage, Matthew 6 says, close your door and go into your inner room and pray, because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew 6, 8, I think so. Matthew 6, definitely. All right? And so for all of us at some stage, we need to close the door and go to our Father who is in secret. And there's these rhythms that we need to have with God. But find that we can, man, what works for you that you can actually connect with the heart of God? Amen. Then the when. I also want to say it is spontaneous prayer times, and it's also organized prayer times. It won't just always happen by itself. So sometimes we're coming into season. I haven't even met with the elders yet about this. We'll chat on Tuesday. But I'm sensing as a church, we're coming into a season where we're going to pray together more frequently. All right, we're going to have more organized prayer time. I don't know what the rhythm is going to be like. But sometimes when we do that, there's some people who love that, and there's some people who kick against that. All right? Guys, I want to say it's both. It's a spontaneous prayer times when we come together and we just pray because we love Him. And then there's times where we organize and say, tonight, we together as a church are going to contend for this. We're going to storm heaven. You know, I love Matthew where it says that wherever two or three in my name gather together, you know, there will be. But it's not two, three people just praying random different prayers. I think it's two, three people praying the same prayer and aligning. And there's a greater witness, you know, when we come together before the Lord like that. So it's spontaneous and organized. It's consistent and committed prayer is the win. And may we be reminded throughout the day that, guys, this is, you know, when we get saved, this is like the very first thing actually that the Lord puts in us is prayer. He says, I invite you to this. That we never outgrow this thing. In fact, we should always grow into it. I love that every revival that I've read about before, of back in the days, there was always a few people that prayed long before that thing took place. People that sought God. I think it was, not the Wesleys, George Whitfield, I think it was him, that he says, wherever he went, before he went to a place, he sent three prayer warriors to go before they went, and they prayed. George Whitfield, then he would come later and minister, and there would be an outpouring. But the revival stopped when that prayer guy died. There was effective praying, actually, to contend for what the Lord wanted to do. And we see throughout history, we need to increase in this. But then, you know, just for us as a church, and so today it might feel, was it helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is quite wide and not very, I haven't done this with us yet. So we'll do that within the next few weeks. But you know what I felt just as I was preparing in the week? Is Abram, right in the beginning, was called a friend of God. Have you guys heard this before? And it says so much, you know, that when God was on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he came and it's this image, but the three men that came and we believe that it's Jesus that came in bodily form or in angelic form, and he visited Abram. And it says, and he met with him face to face as a friend. And there's this picture where Abram was invited into this thing that he called to be a friend of God. And guys, I want to say for all of us that you've been invited to be a friend of the Father, a friend of the Most Holy God, invited to be drawn into this place to meet with Him in intimacy and in connection and in constant, like there's a constant like invitation to come before a holy God. It's your inheritance. And I felt there were many, and I'm including myself here, that have started out here, that have loved this. And somehow throughout this year, some of that inheritance has been, it's just gone dry, and the desire for prayer has run dead, and it became a struggle actually more than anything else. And that actually the Lord wants to invite us back into this and say, this is the very foundation of who I've called you to be, is connection with me. Come back. Come back. I think Lisa hit it spot on today with the songs that actually just saying, God, like we want to connect with your heart, not just your hand. You, like birth something in us again as we commit ourselves before you, Lord, in prayer.